The peace of Christ be with you. Hey, is there anyone here who is left over from student admit day? You're checking us out. Somebody back there? If you're new to Hope, we want to welcome you, and just we're thankful that you're here. If you're just joining us tonight, we've been asking a question all semester long. About what time is it? Time, there's different ways we can answer that. You know, time like Chronos time, like May or April, what's the date? 19th. April 19th kind of time on the calendar. April 19th, one means one more week of school, of classes, calendar, means you've got 5 days to get stuff done kind of calendar. You've only got like 5 more days to ask her out calendar. Chronos time. But that's not what we mean by the question, what time is it? We mean Kairos time. What time is it? What's the moment that transcends a calendar that gets placed in a bigger realm? What time is it? Kind of a pregnancy time, a time of expectation, kind of anticipation. What time is it? And to answer that question, we've been leaning into a verse in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus is speaking to his disciples right before he ascends into heaven, and he says this, "But you will receive power. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Jesus says that the time is now to go be a witness. That's what we've been living into. That's our answer. It's not just April 19th. It's what time is it? Is the time where Jesus has poured out his Holy Spirit in power so that we might be a witness wherever we are. The gospel can never be contained because God cannot be contained. If there is death, he'll bring new life. If there is a stone in front of the tomb, he'll roll it away. If we don't know his name, he'll whisper our name. He'll pick the lock and enter into our hearts and minds. The gospel cannot be contained, which is why it will always cross oceans. It will always leap over mountains. It will always go to the border and cross into the other neighborhood because God is always on the move. What time is it? It's time to go be a witness. But to be a witness, we need something. The Bible says we need power. Holy Spirit power. In other words, we can't do it on our own strength. We're not meant to. And I'm wondering what does that power look like? How does that begin? I think sometimes when we think of power, we always want to think of the dramatic right away. And that can happen, and that does happen. But when I think about that verse, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you," I think about that first day when the Holy Spirit came upon the people of God in Jerusalem, that day of Pentecost. Remember that day? People from all the different countries are there. And then the Holy Spirit comes like a flame of fire on the tongue, and they begin speaking in other languages. And then Peter gets up and interprets the moment, and he does that by quoting Joel. And he says this, "In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall see visions, and your young men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both male and female, I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. I'll show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall turn to blood and the moon to darkness before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. And on that day, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." At Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit actually comes, in power, Peter interprets this by quoting Joel. "In the last days, your Sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. I believe that when the Holy Spirit comes upon us in power, it often begins with our imaginations, with the visions that we have. Have you ever had that experience? The power of the Holy Spirit isn't just doing the miraculous. The power of the Holy Spirit is actually God whispering into our minds and giving us dreams and visions. The kinds of dreams and visions that we see with our eyes wide open. The kind of dreams and visions that is God whispering to us what we need to do right now in our neighborhood in this place. The power of the Holy Spirit, I think, begins when the Holy Spirit is whispering to our hearts and minds so that we might see a vision and dream a dream and prophesy together. We can see what is to come. We've been encouraging you this semester to go be a witness. We've been encouraging you to pay attention to how the Holy Spirit is speaking to you in this place, at this time. And so tonight, we want to celebrate what God has been doing. I've invited some friends to come up and just share a little bit about how God has been speaking to them, what God has laid on a heart for them, a vision that God has given them. And so tonight, we just want to bear testimony and witness to what God has been doing. So to begin, I'll let each one introduce themselves, introduce your name, your year, and one thing you love about Paul Boersma.
Okay. I'm Maggie Losey. I'm a junior. And one thing I love about Paul would be his bow ties, I would have to say.
I'm Ben Wells. Wells really loud. And I'm a religion major. I'm a senior, so I'm about to head out. It's going to be sad. But what I love about Paul Boersma is he's got the coolest outfits. I wish I could wear something he had on right now. That's kind of weird, but yeah, take it as it is.
It is kind of weird. Yeah.
Well, my name is Mar Droppers, and I am a sophomore, and what I love about Paul is Paul has known my parents from high school and early college, and he is one of the only adults on campus who calls me Drops.
I'm Elizabeth Perkins. I'm also a sophomore, and one thing about Paul, I guess every time I see him, I get a high five.
One of the things I love about Paul is that Paul's one of my closest friends, and if you ever get a privilege in life to have a really good friend, like somebody who just sticks with you, makes you sharper, pushes you, Paul is one of those people in my life, and I love that about Paul. We're really different people, but Paul knows all my stuff, and I love that about him. So Maggie Losey. She actually, her real name's Margaret, but people call her Maggie. She actually kind of prefers Margaret for anyone who wants to know that. But they call her Maggie. So, Maggie, Margaret, Losey, what vision has God placed upon your heart? And how did that come about? And how have you pursued that?
Okay. Well, I'm in Greek life at Hope. And something God has put on my heart is how to bring light into a place where there is light, and to bring conversation and faith into our sorority. So brainstorming, talking to friends, talking to girls, I went to a night of inspiration, and I don't know where the idea came from.
What's that? What's the night of inspiration? Decode that for me.
Okay. It's this night where some of us leaders on campus were invited to with Boers and Schoenwald, where we just got together and looked at, we're all leaders on this campus, how can we bring God and our faith into our specific areas? So we were there talking, and this idea kind of popped into my head, like, what can I do as a leader in my organization to further the kingdom of God? And the word that popped in my head was a prayer retreat. I had not been on a prayer retreat, didn't know what that looked like, but I just dreamed and prayed about it and really felt God calling me to do something like that, so I just went with it. talked to a few girlfriends about it, and Kendall Phillips partnered with me, as well as other girls from different organizations, and we put on a prayer retreat, and there was about 30 girls there, and it was an awesome couple of hours where we just were open and talked about our faith, prayed with each other, and we kind of broke the boundaries of organizations and just hung out as girls, which was really awesome.
Beautiful. Yeah. Nice. Thank you. Ben, how about you? What vision did God place upon you, and how did it come about, and what did you do about it?
Yeah, so I'll back up to last year. Just a little bit of my story, I'll just share a little bit of that. But last year, I started just reading through the Bible. I was reading things about what was happening in Acts. I was reading really the whole New Testament, and I was just reading how they would go out in power. I just read things about how they were healing the sick, they were proclaiming the gospel, people were getting saved, and I got excited, and I was like, this needs to happen now. I just started thinking, I just started questioning that. Can that happen today? Can that happen here at Hope College? And I started thinking, too, about just another passage. In Hebrews, it says that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I just had this burden that was just on my heart that I needed to go out and proclaim the gospel in power. And I just had a really powerful encounter last year where I was just filled with the Holy Spirit. And since then, first of all, I haven't been the same. And I just started to just test out this vision of just going out in power. And so what we started to do is usually on Saturdays, me and just a lot of others, we get together. We wait on Jesus to speak to us, and it's kind of like what Trigg was talking about. Just really, it's not like necessarily a huge booming voice, but God can actually speak to us through our thoughts, through pictures, or through words. And so we'll just listen, and we started just hearing stuff, and we started testing it out. And so we started just going with what we were receiving. God would sometimes give us someone's clothing, what they're wearing, a description of where to go, a description of what to do. And we started just go out with that, and we started to see things match up. Just one quick just example, just so you know what I'm talking about, because I don't know if you do or not. But we were
paying. I'm with you, Ben.
Yeah, okay. Quick example. So this happened, this is a somewhat recent testimony, but we were just praying, and we felt like God was laying a few things on our heart, and so we felt like we were supposed to find a man who was smoking at the fireplace downtown, and we went down there, and there's a guy smoking, and he was by the fireplace, and he was with his wife, and we were like, this is an obvious connection. So we just went up, and it was really simple. We were just like, hey, we felt like God was telling us to look for you, and then immediately he had a wife with him, and she just starts bawling, and we're just like, what's going on? And she was just like, this is just perfect timing. So that's just one testimony, and we've seen stuff like that just really all the time since we started going out. We've seen people just touched in physical ways, healing, stuff like that. But so that's probably too much.
No, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
yeah
good.
So that's yeah, a yeah. little bit of our vision, and there you go.
Okay, well, we're going to tag team this because we have a joint vision. But how our vision came about is we also went to Scooney's Night of Inspiration in Bourse, and from there, really just we heard the call from chapels and gatherings about go be a witness, and we started talking about what does that even look like? Do we have to go overseas? Do we have to, join new clubs, make new friends? How do we do that? And we just really realized, Liz and I are both athletes, and we spend a lot of time in our athletics. Those are the people that we see the most. They're the people that we try and be intentional with the most. We're just around them, living life together because of what athletics entails. And so, from that, our vision just kind of came forward as to how can we better love those people? How can we better be intentional with them? And so because of that, we are going to be using our house next year to do that, just to be intentional with younger athletes, with older athletes, with really any athletes. And just By just opening up our doors and having things to do and just conversation starters and different things like that, we really feel like it's our vision.
Yeah, and I mean, last year as freshmen, I mean, freshman year can be tough for a lot of reasons, but in sports, you're transitioning with playing and getting to know your new teammates, and both Mara and I were really lucky to make some really solid friendships with some of the older girls on our teams, and those ended up meaning a lot to us. I mean, they would open their homes to us, have us over, cook us dinner. You know, we're always there just as genuine friends. It was never this like, oh, mentor-mentee kind of deal. It was just like honest to goodness, open friendship. And that really has played a role into kind of what we want to be and like the kind of people we want to be next year in our home. It's really just snowballed from there.
Yeah, and going off of that again. So basically what we want to do is just, like I said before, is have this house. And we really feel like we've gotten a lot of support from other athletes. We've gotten the opportunity to talk to a few other athletes as well as our housemates who will be living with us next year. So as we just started to dream and as we started to think, like, what is this going to look like? What are the concrete steps? Like, having those other girls just be on board and be involved in what we wanted to do, really, like Liz said, just started a snowball effect. And we were able to like sit down with those girls, sit down with our future house, as well as a few other athletes, and just be like, how can we bring more Jesus into athletics at Hope? And what's that gonna look like? And what is gonna be the purpose of that? And so we got to.
Yeah, I mean, when in total, we have six girls covering six different teams, and we just dreamed, and basically we want this house to just be like a source of fun and maybe like an alternative source of activity just for athletes. And you know, it's been really, really encouraging to talk with our four other housemates, Kate Koiker, Sarah Fazio, Paris Madison, and Emily Josie. Go house. And just like planning, and then also talking with other athletes who are also super fired up about it, has been really encouraging to us.
It's awesome. I mean, one of the things I'm just hearing is like from each of you is you've had a vision, you shared it with your friends. I mean, so talk a little bit about that, how you, like, you had a vision, you kind of tested that out, and what happened for you when you start to share that idea with someone?
Yeah, well, I shared it with a few friends first, and then Kendall, and then I also talked to Boers and Schoon about it, and getting their support was awesome, and made me think, like, wow, I actually can really do this, and it can be a really awesome night. And when the night was all over and we were super excited about it, I got emails and Facebooks and texts from the girls that were there saying, hey, like, that was a really awesome night. Can we do it again? And so with that, it's just something that I would love to see implemented in our Greek society, that we would do a prayer retreat and an intentional time to have with other girls. So, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I've had so many great mentors in my life that, yeah, they've just been placed in my life, really just all throughout Hope. And just having those mentors has really been powerful for just growing in Christ. But the biggest way, just testing the vision, was just fruit. And I just feel like whenever, like, the most important thing to test as far as fruit goes is Jesus being glorified. And I mean, just quite simply, what we've seen, we just feel like whenever we go out, Jesus is being glorified.
Well, we kind of already explained a little bit about that, but I think how we've really tested our vision is just being intentional with girls on our teams already. And I think we've seen, especially like what Liz shared about the friends we had last year who were seniors, just being able to see that really coming in as a freshman and just being an older player, getting to take the time and cook a meal for that person, or ask them truly how their day was, or what's going well, what's not going so good, has just been encouraging to us to see that
we once experienced that, and now we can be that for others. And just getting to hear stories of different athletes has really been what's fired us up, and what, I guess, we've tested the vision. We don't live in the house yet, so we haven't started.
Yeah, but just going off that, we feel a lot of support already from other athletes and our teams and the four other girls living in our house, and just ready to get going.
So final question, how has this vision connected for you, for your hope for hope? Which is another way of saying, how does this vision represent a prayer you have for Hope College and what you would like to see God do here?
For me, this really show that there are girls in every organization that want to be talking about their faith and want to have those conversations. And I just hope that they would take that leadership role or call from God and really shed light into a place where there is light and bring more light to that place. And I just know that there are girls out there like that, and I really hope that this inspires them and empowers them to be lights in their own organizations, whether that be Greek life or sports or whoever. So.
My biggest prayer is really simple, and it's just, let's go and be witnesses. We could talk about this all day, but we just need to go. So my prayer for hope is that we just go and be witnesses, whichever way God's calling you. God's calling us all to different things, but that we just go.
Quite simply, I think our prayer for hope is that there would be less of a divide between Hope Athletics and campus ministry stuff. We don't want there to be barriers between the non-Christian athlete and the Christian athlete.
Yeah, and with that, I think we just dream that the people of Hope would be a loving people to everyone, no matter their background or what they spend their time doing on the weekend.
Amen. Friends, let's give them a hand for sharing tonight. Here's what I believe in my heart and in my gut. I'm staking everything on it. I believe that the Holy Spirit is still being poured out in power on you, on each one of you here tonight. In the last days, it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both male and female, I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. I believe that the Holy Spirit is still giving us dreams and visions. And specifically, I believe God, if you ask, will give you a dream or a vision that you can do here on this campus or off campus. And as Ben said, that what God asks of us is just a willing spirit, just to go. What's your prayer for hope? What's your hope for hope? What is it that you want to see God do here? What is the idea that won't let you go? The vision that you see with your eyes wide open, but it's as clear as reality. What is that that you can do, that no one else can do? This isn't about being super spiritual. It's not about being something we're not. It's about being who we are and the places God has put us. But being witnesses of Jesus. Jesus, God among us, who gave everything so that we can have everything. What can we give? What vision has God put in your heart? I want to spend just a couple minutes just in silence, and I want us to just pray that God will give you a vision. And then if God does, here's my challenge for you tonight. When you leave here tonight, I want you to talk to a friend or your mom and dad or some stranger out on the street and say, I got this vision from the Lord. Share this vision, because when you do, something happens. It becomes catalytic. When we speak our words, they become more real. So let's just take a couple minutes of silence and just pray that the Holy Spirit will come in power upon each of us. Let's pray. Jesus, pour out your Holy Spirit again in this place, on this people. Give them dreams and give them visions that are of you for this campus and this people, that we might more faithfully live into our name, hope. Bless each person here tonight, God, with a very particular call. And bless them with a faith that is willing to follow you, to go out and to be a witness. In their dorm, on their team, in the classroom, in Greek life, in campus ministries, on the sidewalks, wherever you are calling them, Lord, may they go, knowing that you are with them. Give us dreams and visions. May the power of your Holy Spirit begin in the seeds of our imagination, that it might grow into something so beautiful that a watching world might take pause and say, yes, Christ is Lord. Christ is risen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, everyone said, amen.